Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV, giving voice to the voiceless. I'm here every week promoting the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back and establish a clear line. And if you get on the television, make sure the volume on your television is down at zero. Or you can SMS the show on 44780008066 or email us at comment@presstv.co.uk. Well, we're coming up to the new Hajj, the great Muslim pilgrimage, and it will be the first Hajj since the Muslims reawakened, since the uprising which has spread throughout the Arab world. How will Saudi Arabia handle a newly reawakened ummah? How will they handle millions of Muslims with a spring in their step? Well, we'll see soon enough. Now, Press TV wants your uploaded videos from the Hajj. If you have any taken with your mobile phone or your video camera, you can upload them at www.presstv.ir/YouReport. That's U-R-E-P-O-R-T. That'll be worth watching. So we'll be talking about Saudi Arabia and the new Hajj this evening. We'll be wondering how you think the Saudis are going to handle it. Can we expect difficulties? Can we expect more of an uprising in Saudi Arabia, which has been, of course, continuing? And yesterday, the Saudi dictatorship promised the iron fist against any of its citizens demanding basic democratic rights. That's the iron fist that we're going to war to cut off in other parts of the Arab world, but giving weapons to the Saudis to make their iron fist even more iron. And we'll be talking about Bahrain, currently occupied by the iron fist of Saudi Arabia, where democracy demonstrations continue and the iron fist continues to smash them down. Continued massive sentences of savage imprisonment from the dictators of Bahrain against the democracy protesters. Any sanctions from the West? No. In fact, more military and financial support for the long-running dictatorship on the island. And the suspected war criminal, Zippy Livni, is running free in London, thanks to David Cameron and the quiescent British Parliament, which changed British law so that suspected war criminals, well, at least Israeli ones, can visit London without fear of arrest. She had to hightail it out of Britain, you may recall, on her last visit, when a magistrate in central London was persuaded that there was a prima facie case to hold her in relation to alleged war crimes committed during the so-called Operation Cast Lead. I'm sure there was a demonstration greeting her when she arrived in London today. If we get pictures of that while we're on the air, we'll break in and show them. And the US economy, of course, continues to lie down on the floor. And 700 democracy protesters in the United States were arrested for occupying Wall Street, which has been occupying the US economy and destroying it for many years past. And the Occupy Wall Street movement has now spread throughout the United States with hundreds of similar actions taking place. Maybe we're going to get a spring in the United States, or is it going to be a long, hot winter? We'll see. Now, Andrew's in the UK. He wants to talk about the US economy. So let's go to him for the first call of the evening. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Evening, George. Yes, I've just been watching Press TV news, and I noticed something in respect of the South Koreans were up in arms about some trade liberalisation agreements between South Korea and America. I didn't quite catch the full grasp, the full complexities of it. However, I would like to make this statement in respect of, I find it criminally obscene that the European Union and the United States alike, the criminal agricultural policy, I would call it the criminal agricultural policy, subsidise their farmers whom, in most respects, don't need subsidies, and they cause untold ecological and environmental damage. And third world farmers, notably the developing nations, who could outcompete them due to low labour costs, etc., aren't able to sell their produce in the North and West, i.e. North America and Western Europe, because of these subsidies. And I find that an outrage in itself. And yet they keep going on about free trade and liberalisation, and yet they do anything to the contrary to it. And my second point would also be in respect of this Zippy Livni, which I've just heard you mention. I would like to make one quick quote in respect of an old Spanish proverb: laws are like a spider's web, they catch only the flies and the hawks go free. I will leave you those two statements to ponder and respond.
Well said, Andrew, and consider them pondered. Excellent. Great start. Let's stay in the UK. Talk to John on that very subject of the visit of the alleged war criminal Zippy Livni to London. Go ahead, John.
Good evening, George. George, I'd like to read a small something I've written. I'll read that to you, if I may, in its completeness. And then I have a question for you, a radical question for you regarding this visit. Now, the Tunisian uprising is a landmark in Arab and international politics. The changes we're observing have created the conditions that is putting real pressure on Israel to change. And the irony is this: pressure is not coming from a military might. Pressure is coming from ordinary people. And that's why it's going to be effective.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. Now, my question is, here's a radical question, which is a bit not in line with what you're saying, the line you're taking. My view is this, that I think, you know, the world is changing, everybody has to change, Israel has to change. And the visit of the, this is my question for you, is there any way we can see that the visit of the opposition leader is some sort of green line for the more for the other and more moderate politicians in Israel who could in time come to power and then
who are
get
those?
On to the negotiation.
Who are those, John? Who are the more moderate politicians in Israel?
I honestly don't know, George. You'll have to forgive me. I don't know. But
I know, John. The idea that Zippy Livni is in any sense a beacon for the more moderate politicians in Israel, of course, doesn't survive any comparator with her role in the savage bombardment of the Gaza Strip on Christmas and New Year 2008-2009, in which almost 1,500 Palestinians, most of them women and children, were killed. And thousands were maimed. Tens of thousands had their houses destroyed. The Israeli public then threw Livni out, thinking that the incoming government of Benjamin Netanyahu was more to their liking. Kind of tells you all you need to know about the current state of public opinion in the state of Israel. Let's go to London, talk to Tony about the US economy. Tony, welcome.
Hello, George. Nice talking to you. I've got two points, George, to make. Tahrir, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, George. Tahrir Square has now reached New York and other parts of America. Will this shock for the United States government, which has been a shock, prompt the CIA and, of course, we know Mossad to divert attention by creating yet another war, perhaps against Iran this time round, or encourage another al-Qaeda uprising, or use a useless double-faced Mr. Tony Blair to do the job for them? That's question number one, George. The other one is that the unholy alliance between Bible thumpers of the United States to support Zionist Israel, paid for by the poor United States taxpayer to prepare for so-called Harmageddon appears to be evaporating into the confines of history by the Islamic awakening. What do you think, George?
Well, there are a lot of questions in there, John. The first one contained just a couple too many conspiracy theories to me. Tahrir Square involved millions of people. The protests in the United States involve a small number of thousands. So we oughtn't to get carried away. But nonetheless, the speed with which that model of the occupation of Wall Street, the speed with which it's traveled in the United States is very interesting, and we must keep a close eye on it. Certainly, the US economy is in disastrous shape, and it can ill afford to continue giving billions of dollars every year to Netanyahu's Israel, which does nothing but humiliate the elected government of the United States. I'm not expecting a war against Iran, neither from Israel nor from the United States, which, were it to occur, would amount to the same thing, for the primary reason that Iran is well able to defend itself. And if anyone attacks Iran, it'll be the biggest mistake in all history. Now, let's talk to Noreen in London about Bahrain. Noreen, I hope I've got your name right. Go ahead, please. Now, you must put your television down to zero. Yes, go ahead. No, I'm sorry. We're going to have to move on from that one, because despite however many times I say it, if your television is not down at zero when you get onto the air, nobody will understand either of us. Let's talk to Adam, about which I'm not sure. Adam, go ahead, sir.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you.
Yes, George, I would like to make some three important issues with you here.
Go ahead.
Let's look at democracy in its entirety. I believe democracy is a culture, and the culture disparities in this world. And now, the preachers of democracy itself are now breaching the contract of democracy. In London, students' protests on the streets of London was met by a brutal force by the government, by its agencies, the police in London. In America, people are saying that enough is enough. The taxpayers are paying a lot to bail out the billionaires, the bankers who are the smoke screen. The governments are the smoke screens of the bankers. Therefore, we want a reform that protects the future generation. Pepper sprays were used on innocent, harmless demonstrators who want to register their displeasure of the policies of the American government.
Yes, you could call it the iron fist approach that Saudi Arabia practices.
Yes, there is no difference between what the American government is doing and what Gaddafi did. And
There is a big difference, Adam. Gaddafi killed a very, very significant number of people. The United States government didn't kill anybody. Neither did the government in Britain when the students demonstrated some time ago. We have to keep these things in perspective. Otherwise, we get carried away, you see, in our own rhetoric. And we imagine that the student demonstration of 7 or 8 months ago now is somehow akin to the revolution still unfolding in Egypt, for example. Or we think that people being pepper sprayed in Wall Street is the same as people being gunned down with heavy machine guns, as happened in Libya. So I really can't let you away with that kind of hyperbole. I'm sorry about that. Let's talk to Kevin in the UK about Israel and the UK. Kevin, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, George. Always a pleasure to speak to you again, anyway.
Thanks.
What I'd like to know is this... law that has been changed so the foreign minister from Israel can visit our country, as before she couldn't.
Yes.
It just sort of happened. I didn't notice any build-up to it. It was just sort of passed and announced on the television.
No, it was passed in Parliament.
Yeah, but the general public more or less kept out the pipeline until it actually happened. Was it one of these laws that was passed late at night?
No. They signalled it in advance of the election, and all parties, Liberal Democrat, Labour and Conservative, supported it, to their shame.
Absolutely disgusting. It sort of harks along with that law that stops photographers and people like myself from photographing police brutality. You know, it's sort of protects the criminal element in our own government.
Mm. No, it's a shameful law, and of course it was passed only for Israel, because you can be sure if a suspected alleged war criminal were to visit London from any other country in the whole world, they would be arrested. But an Israeli suspected alleged war criminal, like Zippy Livni, is in London, cavorting, frolicking, her defiance of what had previously been British legality and a decision of a British judge in a central London courtroom.
Mm.
It is, Kevin, truly shameful. But we've only got ourselves to blame. We elected them. Thanks for the call, my friend. Let's go to Tori in Italy to talk about Bahrain. Tori, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, George. Good evening.
Good evening. Go ahead.
Excuse me. It seems like I've been watching the media all day, all night. But what is what I hate most from it is that we call ourselves Muslims, and we are not Arab. We are from Africans, and we practice the Islamic religion very well. But what I've seen the Arab people have been doing, which where Muhammad come from, it seems like there is no any adin from those Arab countries. They make the Americans to brainwash them. They be putting some misunderstanding between them because of the Islamic religion between what they're having. They hate the religion. Not they hate the Arabs, but the religion, that's what they hate. And because when you look at Bahrain, for instance, they've been fighting for since, but no any upcoming law to stop the fighting. But when it was Libyan, they just sent their troops to deceive
that
they are going to fight for something.
Tori,
but they never fight for anything.
That's because, your country, my country, and the United States are hypocrisies before they are democracies. They are actually supporting the repression of the democracy demonstrators in Bahrain. Germany just sold Saudi Arabia €1 billion worth of tanks, which are being used in Bahrain to crush the democracy protesters. Britain received the Crown Prince of Bahrain on the steps of Downing Street. The Prime Minister shook his hand warmly, and not as a prelude to taking him into custody, but as a prelude to doing still more military-linked deals with him. The United States has just sold hundreds of millions of dollars of new weaponry to the dictatorship in Bahrain. Whilst, as you say, in Libya, well, it was a rather different story, wasn't it? Tori, thanks for the call out there in Italy. Let's go to the comment wall. Take an email. We want to see your point of view, your country, up here on the comment wall. That's a picture of the democracy demonstrators in Bahrain. Let's see if we can get that email up on the comment wall now. It's from Shahina in Birmingham. Oh my God, George, I just booked my Hajj this week. This is my first time, really nervous. What do you think is going to happen? Can you imagine 4 million of us rising up against the Yazids of today? George, will you come with us? Also, why is Haig silent on Saudi Arabia? Well, Shahina, I don't think that Saudi Arabia would give me a visa to visit. Let's see what happens on the first Hajj since the Muslims reawoke. It'll be interesting, won't it? I'm sure that God will look after you, Shahina. Let's take a second email on the comment wall. Let's see where this one's from. It's from Aburis in London. How can I upload my videos, and will there be a change in the leadership in Saudi? I'm going on Hajj in a few weeks, and I want to know how I can watch Press TV there. Will it be blocked? And just one more question. Can you broadcast from Mecca? Well, I don't know the situation for Press TV being viewed in Saudi Arabia. We have had calls many times from our friends in Saudi Arabia, of whom there are a very great number. And I want to make it clear that any criticisms I make of Saudi Arabia are of the dictatorship in Saudi Arabia, not of the great Islamic people who live in the Arabian Peninsula. I don't know if there will be a change in Saudi Arabia. There are demonstrations right at this moment, this evening, in Saudi Arabia. And the Saudi dictatorship has promised the iron fist, presumably with the support of William Hague, because we haven't heard him say anything to the contrary, have we? Raz, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm actually going to talk about the Saudi and the Israeli connection.
Yeah.
Now, there is two islands that territorially part of Saudi Arabia, what we can call Saudi Arabia, which is what the British gave to these Arabs in that region. It's called Tiran and Sanafir. These two islands in the Gulf of Aqaba, technically part of Saudi Arabia, they are occupied by Israel, or what we refer to as Israel, since 1967. The Saudi government does not want it back, and they're both used as Israeli military bases. This is all official. It's just kept secret by the media, by the Saudi government. They don't really care about it either, because it's strategic to them, because they obviously have all the other bases. You know, French have got military bases, the Americans have got, British have. So they've got the Israelis protecting them, and they're not even making a hoo-ha about this. And you can imagine, if a woman drives, they're ready to behead her or whatever they have to do. But Israel, guys from Europe, basically occupy two islands in the birthplace of Islam and one of the birthplaces of Christianity, and they don't even make a fuss. And that is showing the Israeli connection, and this is why when the Saudi king, who is a big violator of human rights, as you mentioned rightly so today, in 2009, you were mentioning what they were doing in Yemen, when Al-Qaeda were actually working with the Americans, the Saudis, and the British tried to destroy the Houthi movement, nobody said anything, and the Queen of England decided to host the Saudi monarchy here. So I believe this whole human rights thing in UK, I can't really trust UK and human rights. They host the Saudi king, down to their queen having lunch and wine with them, or whatever they do together.
Well, it's a wonder they were able to sit in the same room as her. I didn't know anything about these islands, and I can't vouch for the facts as you've described them. I'd appreciate it if you or anyone else would send me further and better particulars about that. I should just point out that the Saudis don't behead women for driving cars. They only lash them with a whip. Let's go to Manchester and talk to Alanka about the US protests. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Good afternoon, George.
Yes, go ahead quickly.
George, I have a couple of questions for you. I think maybe you are the only one who can bring me an answer to that question. First of all, can you explain me, George, you just said that the U.S. economy is in a bad situation. Can you explain me how come a country like the U.S. and U.K., where the economy is not so well, they put themselves in the war everywhere in Libya?
Well, that's right. I'll tell you what, Alanka, it cannot be separated from the fact that the U.S. spends $1.4 trillion a year on war and weapons and security. It cannot be separated from that. It cannot be separated from the fact that Wall Street has ripped off Main Street and ripped off the industrial parks of America and bled them white so that many of them have now perished. American capitalism, American imperialism around the globe are both coming to a rather damp squib ending. At least that's how it looks to me. I'll be back after the news with the second half of comment. I promise you, you don't want to miss it. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV, giving voice to the voiceless. Let's stay in London, talk to Kiani about Zippy Livni, the alleged war criminal who's at large in London and can't be arrested, thanks to David Cameron and the rubber stamp British Parliament. Kiani, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir. Welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. George, Zippy Libby's visit to London marks the hypocrisy of the British government. And above all, the Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, the Gulf States, United Kingdom, they are the sister countries of the United States. We shouldn't be that surprised that they can change their color like any time which they wish to. One law for Arabs and one law for the others. This is, we are accustomed to it.
Look at the way they treated.
Not be so surprised about that. Thank you very much.
Look at the way they treated Sheikh Ra'ed Salah, one of the most respected Islamic leaders in the whole world. Sheikh Ra'ed was arrested by the British 3 days after they welcomed him through the airport at Heathrow. He was banged up in a cell with common criminals. One of the most important Palestinian figures, one of the most important Arab leaders, one of the most respectable Islamic figures in the world, locked up by the British government, Theresa May, behind bars with common criminals, whilst Livni, who is the subject of United Nations investigation, which allege suspected crimes against humanity and suspected war crimes, is able to frolic, cavort in central London with a red carpet welcome from the same British government that locked up Sheikh Ra'ed Salah, who has won the first of his court battles, and we must all pray that he wins them all. Let's talk to Faisal in the UK about Saudi Arabia and the Hajj. Faisal, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi there, George. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
How are you? You all right?
Yes, good.
Great. I've been looking forward to talk to you.
Thanks.
Basically, I just wanted to ask you about the Israel and Palestine situation, and is it possible for it to be a two-state solution, or would it just have to be Israel, or can it all be ruled by Palestine? What do you think?
Oh, well, that's a big subject and not one that's on the agenda tonight, so I'll have to just give you a nutshell. I'm in favor of one democratic state from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. We can call it whatever we like. We can call it Palestine-Israel, Israel-Palestine, but it should be a state in which all the Palestinian people who have a right to return, a legal and moral right which is eternal and inalienable, have that right recognized and accepted, and those who wish to exercise it. That the whole of the Palestinian diaspora is able to return to their homes and to their land, and that every citizen of that state, whatever it's called, whether Jewish, Muslim or Christian, live as equal citizens under the law. Now, did you want to say something about Saudi Arabia?
I did, yeah. I wanted to ask, because I've seen a lot of things on the internet and obviously in the news and that, and it sounds like Saudi Arabia are trying to say that there's foreign people coming in causing protests. Do you think it's foreign people coming in, or do you think it's actually people from Saudi Arabia? And if it is, what do you think, what would happen next?
Well, there's nothing foreign about people who are on the Hajj, of course. They are part of the Muslim Ummah, and it is an obligation of the Muslim religion, if possible, to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. And the Saudi Arabian regime, here today and gone tomorrow, has no right to prohibit any Muslim from making Hajj. And we must hope that they do not seek so to block or place obstacles in the way of those who are going there. It is their religious duty to go there. And the so-called king of Saudi Arabia is the so-called custodian of the two holy mosques. And he has a duty to be a custodian of the two holy mosques. So they have no right to try and place obstacles in the way of those who wish to make that Hajj. And foreigners is one thing that they are not. Let's talk to Paul in the UK, who wants to talk about me. Go ahead, Paul. Paul?
Hello?
Paul?
Hello?
Yes, you want to talk about me?
Yes.
Go ahead, please, be my guest.
May I ask you, please, who supports your channel?
What do you mean, supports our channel? Nobody supports our channel. We're a commercial operation broadcasting on the Sky platform. Why? What's your point?
No, because many programs you show, it's about Saudi Arabia, it's about dictatorship, it's about Arab Gulf, and we are happy for to be with our dictators.
You don't sound like Paul to me, but what was it you wanted to talk about me?
No. I'm Abu Dada. I'm not talking about you.
Uh-huh. So you're Paul. Have I got the right person? Have I got the right person? Your name is Paul, yeah?
No. I'm Abu Dada.
Ah, it said Paul on the screen. Well, I didn't really understand your question, but insofar as I was able to grasp some parts of it.
George, I want to say to you just, we are happy with our dictators.
You are happy with your dictators?
Yes.
I don't think that's common, Paul. I really don't think it's common to be happy with your dictators. Why are you so happy with them? Do you work for them?
We love them. We want to live with them. We are happy to be with them.
Mm. You've obviously not been on the receiving end of the lashes then.
Sorry?
You've obviously not been on the receiving end of their lash.
No.
And you've obviously not been in their dungeons being tortured.
No. There are people who are uprising in some places in Saudi Arabia. Obviously, they are with Iran, not with us. So if they want to live with Iran, they can go and live there, and we will live happy with our dictators.
Well, there we have it. You can't cater for everyone. There's a man who comes on an international television station and announces that he, at least, although he said we, are happy with our dictators. Well, I suppose you can fool some of the people all of the time. Let's talk to Abu Dada, unless that's who I've just been talking to. He was Abu Dada, and I apologize to him because I originally thought he was Paul. He didn't sound like Paul to me. Krezor is in the UK, wants to talk about Israel. Go ahead, Krezor.
Yeah, it's Trevor.
Okay, Trevor, I beg your pardon.
Okay. Yeah, a message for Zippy Lidney.
Yeah.
The Israelis who died in the Holocaust would turn in the grave if they knew the Israelis of today have become the Nazis.
Well, there were no Israelis who died in the Holocaust because Israel wasn't created during the Holocaust. There were millions of Jews and many others, gypsies, disabled people, communists and so on, homosexuals, who were massacred by the Nazis. And that kind of talk doesn't take us very much further forward. I'm sorry to say, Trevor, and I'm sorry for getting your name wrong. We never confuse Jews with Israelis here because most Jews in the world are not Israelis. Many Jews in the world, including Jews in Israel, are with us. And most of the people who are with Israel are not Jews. It's a bit more complicated than you seem to think. Let's talk to Barry in the UK about the Prime Minister's speech at the Tory Party conference. Go ahead, Barry.
Hello, George. How are you doing?
Yes, very well, thanks.
Just a quick one on the two islands that are inhabited by Israel. That's true. You might want to look into that.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one's brought that to my attention before.
Yeah, no, I only found out myself the other day, but it's definitely true. Okay. Did you see the Cameron speech? And if you did, what was your overall general opinion of it?
Well, Seamus Milne in The Guardian this morning has written an absolutely peerless, wonderful, coruscating commentary on David Cameron's speech at the Tory Party conference. I could do no better, Barry, than to refer you to that. Go to guardian.co.uk and look up Seamus Milne in the comment pages on that very subject, the Cameron speech, in which he was about to call on the British people to pay down their credit card bills on the very day that we learned that growth in Britain in the previous quarter had been 0.01%, meaning that we are a whisker away from another recession, when we're still actually suffering from the last one. Hassan's in London, wants to talk about what they call Saudi Arabia. Hassan, go ahead. Hassan? Oh dear. Hassan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm just trying to say about the dictators of Arabia and Saudi.
Yeah.
Can you hear me, John?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just talking about these guys. These guys, they're not presenting the Arabs, and they're not presenting the Muslim around the world. These guys are presenting themselves, okay? Because if you see the situation in Arabia Saudia, it's worse than somewhere else.
It's worse than what?
It's worse than another Muslim in somewhere else.
It's probably the unfreest place on the entire planet.
That's right.
And what's your point?
I don't think Arabia, the royal family of Arabia Saudi, they're presenting the Saudis, okay?
Oh, they're definitely not. No. Definitely not. Who chose them? When was the last time they were elected?
Might be by the Americans then.
Well, they were never elected, and they would not be elected. That's why they have to use the iron fist against the people that are on the streets this evening asking for democracy in Arabia. Indeed, throughout the Persian Gulf area, we have a series of states who have rulers that were not elected by anybody.
That's right.
And who send their armed forces to occupy each other's countries in order to crush those who merely want to elect their government. And they get the support of Western countries. The same Western countries that are either going to war or imposing sanctions or threatening to impose sanctions on other countries in the same region because of their treatment of their democracy protesters. That's why I say these are hypocrisies, not democracies. Thanks, Hassan. Let's go to Germany. Talk to Hans about Zippy Livni. Hans, go ahead.
Yes. Hello, good evening, George.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
One question. What do you think, what is the reason why, you know, in Germany you have to be careful what you say about Israel and the Jews.
Well, you do, because in Germany millions of Jews were murdered by the Nazis.
So, but if you say something, you know, even constructive criticism, they might call you anti-Semite. But I'm not.
Well, yeah,
if
it is constructive criticism, if it is not anti-Semitic, then that would be deplorable.
Yeah,
if, on the other hand, careless talk seeps into anti-Semitism, then it should be criticized, and it will be criticized by me any time that it emerges.
But if you nowadays, if you criticize Israel, let's say, about the Palestinian question and their right of state and all this, this also, they put you in a certain corner. But
you have to stand in that corner, Hans, and fight that corner if they do.
But, now
but I have had words before. And what I advise you, maybe because English is your second language, I advise you to be very, very careful never to conflate the issues of Zionism and Israel with Jews and Judaism. It's very, very important.
I mean, and I lived a long time abroad, and you know, you always come across people from the embassy or so. And anyway, but this, no, I want to ask you a question. What do you think, you know, in Germany we have this saying, somebody has the freedom of a fool, or the fool's freedom. Why the Israel government, no matter which government, they have this freedom of fools? Like now when they lift this, first she was regarded as a war criminal because of this war, what you mentioned before, the killing of innocent civilians in Gaza Strip. But why what I don't understand is why, in this case, Britain didn't stick to the verdict.
Well, all the parties in Britain were determined to change the law because they did not wish to see suspected, alleged war criminals from Israel being hunted by the British judicial system. That's because the political parties in Britain, the main ones, are all supporters, to a greater or lesser extent, of the Zionist state of Israel, which, of course, was founded on a promise by the British foreign minister, who, on behalf of one people, promised to a second people the land which belonged to a third people, an act unique even by imperialist standards. So we oughtn't to be surprised, and we get what we deserve. We elected the parliament, which tamely passed a change in the law so that Livni could frolic this evening in London. Thanks for the call, Hans. Mohammed's in London, wants to talk about the same subject. Mohammed, welcome to the show. Mohammed?
Hello, George. Thank you very much.
Go ahead, sir.
It doesn't surprise me that the Israeli minister is here in London, and there has been always silence when Palestinians have been put under siege in Gaza, and this very minister was the person who was causing the massacre, and it wouldn't surprise me if she comes here without being taken to court for you know.
No, she definitely won't be. The government has welcomed her visit.
Yes.
And the government would have to give its explicit permission for any action to be taken against her. So manifestly, that's not going to happen.
Yes. George, my understanding is that the Western powers are somehow more, I don't know, they bow to the Israeli authorities. I don't know why. I cannot really understand. They have lost the values they say we have, which I don't now believe anymore because...
Well, I mean, there are lots of complex reasons, Mohammed, but the Western powers, principally ours, created Israel because they wanted a settler state of European settlers, just like the European settler states in Africa and elsewhere, so that that settler state could keep the Arabs divided and therefore weak, the better for us to rule them. And as part of the geopolitics of the post-war situation, the United States took on that role. Now, the United States may well be beginning, given the Arab Revolution, which is still rolling out, and this Islamic awakening, which is in part behind it, may be beginning to consider that we have a liability in our relationship with what they call Israel, rather than an asset. Thanks for the call. Let's go back to Italy. Talk to Dade on Bahrain and Libya. Go ahead, caller. Thanks very much.
Yeah, hello. Good evening, Mr. Galawi.
Good evening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm very impressed about your program.
Thank you.
What I want to ask is that I don't understand why the Western power and the Americans said Gaddafi is using force against his people. And what we saw in Britain and America now is beyond what Gaddafi did to his people.
How can you say how can you say that?
Yeah, I have to say that because we saw in Britain how the police were brutalizing their people.
Did they kill anybody?
Did Gaddafi kill anybody? Gaddafi didn't kill anybody, but
look, I don't know how long you've got. But it would take some hours for me,
Mr. Galawi,
to explain to you how many Libyans Gaddafi killed, and not just in this year, but in previous years as well. You've obviously not been paying attention. Well, Gaddafi's got some support in Libya, that's for sure. Let's talk to Faik in London about Saudi Arabia and the Hajj. Go ahead, caller. Thanks for ringing.
Hello, George. How are you today?
I'm very well, thanks. Go ahead.
Okay, George, there are two things I would like to ask you. First thing is, why don't you send your team to Hajj and to find the facts, what's going on in Saudi Arabia?
Well, we hope that we will have film from Saudi Arabia. We've invited people to upload their videos and so on.
No, why can't we officially send a team?
Well, I don't think Saudi Arabia would allow us to officially send a team.
Well, that answers my question very correctly. That shows how undemocratic those. I don't want to swear on the TV, but that's how they are.
Mm.
And secondly, George, I think is the double standards of the British government, the way they are behaving with Zippy Livni. It is why can't the human rights groups in the UK and Press TV do something about this?
Well, we are trying and we were demonstrating this evening, but what can we do? The Parliament changed the law, Faik.
And what about our human rights group? What happened to Amnesty International?
They've raised their concerns, as have other human rights groups. But the law is the law. And the law was changed by the parliament that we elected.
Why isn't she in the rest of the news? Why isn't she on BBC, on Sky, on ITV?
Okay, well, you'll need to keep tuned to Press TV because you'll certainly learn more about the story there. Let's take probably the last call, Bilal in London, about the Muslim countries and their dictatories. Go ahead, Bilal.
Hello, George. How are you?
Very well. Go ahead, quick.
Yeah, basically, I want to talk about the success of the West in the last 60 years, basically. They created all these sort of rulers in the Arab world, basically. Saudi Arabia, Yemen, all these other countries, they've been successful of producing all these dictators to basically take wealth from the Arab countries. And for the Muslims as a whole, in the whole Islamic world, it's been really sort of last 30-40 years, it's been really bad for the Muslims, basically. I don't know about that, Bilal.
30 years ago, more than, the Iranian people rose up and told the world that they would not accept their dictator any longer. And though he killed a huge number of them, having killed and tortured them for decades beforehand, the courage of the Iranian people brought down their tyrant, who was one of the most powerful tyrants of them all. Now, others in other Muslim countries have to bring down their tyrants. These tyrants are not going to change, so they have to be changed. In Egypt and in Tunisia, two tyrants have fallen. Other tyrants are yet to fall. We must all hope that before long, God willing, all the Muslim countries will be free. Thanks very much for tuning in to comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV. If you've enjoyed it, bring someone else next week. Next time, God willing, same time, same place.
Hello, just comment with your name and the place you left that number. And just make sure that your television volume is set to 0.
Zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You redirect me to your phone number and then we'll be back. Just comment.
Can I have your telephone number?
Okay, so I'll do it.